Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Darrell. Praise God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for what God is doing in our country, and I'm so excited that we have the opportunity to give Him praise for these things and to continue to pray according to His will. So tonight, I'm going to revisit a message that I gave back in 2023, and I'm going to expound on AI. And this will probably be the beginning of probably a couple of messages on this issue. So let's get started. Turn with me first to Exodus chapter 3, and then I'll get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in our country. I thank you, Father God, for those that you have appointed for this hour. I thank you, Lord God, for President Trump, and I thank you for J.D. Vance and Elon Musk, Lord God, for what you're doing in and through him and his team. I thank you, Father God, for the justices that are being appointed. I thank you, Father God, for the victories that are coming and the legislation that is being passed. I think of the things we've prayed over for years and years and years, and we are seeing it take place today. And I thank you for this. We give you praise. Father God, as we come before you and go to your word, and as we cover this prophetic message that you had given me back in 2023, Lord, I just ask that your grace will be here, your grace to hear the message that you have given for tonight, that that you would settle things around us, Lord God, and help us to be able to incorporate this, understand it, and not move forward in fear, of course, but move forward in faith. And I thank you for this, Lord God. Lord, we just love you so much. We just love you so much. And we count it such a privilege to come before you each week. And we thank you for this time. Blessed, O Lord, in your precious name, amen. Okay, so as I shared, I'm gonna revisit a message the Lord gave me back in 2023. It was August of 2023, and part one of that message actually was in 2020. And the Lord had given me a word that our Red Sea moment was coming. And then in 2023, August, he said, America's Red Sea moment approaches. And in that message, the Lord gave me, he expounded on the first message in just great waves. The first time it was his deliverance. The second time is the plagues that were in the church. And I'm going to address that tonight. And expound on, especially, I would like to update that, to be honest with you, and kind of give a little bit of update of where we are, but then expound on the issue of AI. And so just let's plow through. Okay, and the reason why this came about is because 2 days ago I saw this headline. It says, AI Jesus coming this Easter. And I thought, okay, wait. The Lord, immediately when I saw that headline, brought back a message that he gave me, the America's Red Sea moment approaches. And so that's why we're going to cover this tonight. It's time. It's time. So let's start with Exodus 3, though, because I always like to start us in the Word. Exodus 3, we're going to start at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now remember, the Lord told Abraham that he would not give his descendants that land until the cup of sin was full in the land of Canaan. So there were two factors here. The cup of sin had to be full in the land of Canaan, but I also, as I was preparing, felt that the cup of sin against the Israelites by the Egyptians had reached its fullness as well. And then third, the Israelites cried out to God. Verse 8, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And let's skip down to verse 19. And I love that the Lord tells him, I'm going to send you into Egypt to deliver my people. Verse 19, and I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Thanks, Lord. God has such a sense of humor. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So the Lord is about to deliver them, and this is the promise of the Lord for his people. We've been waiting 400 years for this promise, and here it's about to approach. The Red Sea moment ensured that as they would need to pass back through this place. Now, one of the things as I have gone through this study before is that when they had to go through this season of their deliverance from the Egyptians, this took anywhere from 9 months to a year that they walked the plagues with the Egyptians. And it was an important step because God wanted to bring the plagues out of his people. You see, when they were in the land of Egypt, they had become immersed in the Egyptian culture. And even though they were in the land of Goshen originally, they had still become immersed in the culture. And we see this at the base of Mount Sinai. When they take all the gold that God had blessed them with from the Egyptians, they throw it into a pod and out pops this cow. Can you believe they said that? It's just to me so funny sometimes. Sometimes when you read the Bible, I just laugh because it out popped a calf. Aaron, you could do better. So God was trying to bless them because they had been in bondage now for some time, and they were under a heavy hand of oppression. But they had become immersed in the culture, and God needed to get the culture out of them. He needed to get the culture out of the next generation. It was an important step in preparing them to take the land of Canaan. And I think sometimes we don't consider our own where we are today, right? We have cried out to God for deliverance, and we're listening to Daryl, and he's giving the praise reports, and we're super excited about this. I'm beyond excited. Sometimes I'm so excited and so immersed in the praise reports that Daryl is bringing forth, I forget I have to teach. Because it's such good news after so many years of fighting these battles. It's a breath of fresh air. That's what it is. It's a breath of fresh air. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that he's bringing us these victories. But in the midst of this season of time, We have found ourselves. Not all, but we have found ourselves submitting to the culture, submitting to the culture demands, submitting to the oppression, giving ourselves over to it just because the fight is so hard. It's so long. I mean, we can have lots of answers as to why we do the things that we do. But when the Lord set to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses, it's not going to be without a battle. He's not going to let you go. And they had to be immersed in, right back into the environment and the idolatry of the Egyptians. Starting in verse 7, we see the plagues begin. And every plague addressed a god, a little g god, that the Egyptians worshipped to prevent that very plague. Every single one of them. Including crossing the Red Sea. I mean, they worshipped the god of that sea. And that is the very thing that was their undoing as it swallowed them up. The Egyptians. And the Israelites watched them be swallowed up. And yet they still came out of the land, went to the base of Mount Sinai, and melted gold and out popped a calf. So let's apply this to today. Because I'm looking at the things that the Lord has shown Mom, the things that the Lord has shown me, and I'm thinking, okay, God, our deliverance is coming. America's Red Sea moment, we're on the cusp of it. And you think, well, we got Trump in office. Isn't that it? No, it's not it. Because every executive order that he is signing is undoing the damage of the cabal. But there's some of those things that will have to go through Congress if they're going to stay in place. If they're going to, they have to be codified. Or else the next person that sits in that White House, if it's not J.D. Vance, it's, you know, they could undo it. These things will need to be codified. We will enjoy them for 4 years. But they'll need to be codified. So we'll need to continue to pray into that. And we're going to need to make sure we stay in the fight. Stay in the fight as we fight through the elections in 26. Because that next election is going to be critical in this battle for America. So if we look at all the things that I'm saying right now, if we look at the Egyptians, like the elite or the cabal, the Egyptian advisors and magicians to me are like the deep state, and the Egyptian people are like those hardcore Democrats. And in the mix are the Israelites who'd become muddied in the Egyptian worship. They'd become muddled through it. And the taskmasters, which I would liken to like the rhinos, the Republicans in name only. And then finally, we have those faithful Israelites who'd followed God and awaited the deliverer. And that, I would like to say, would be us. But the Lord says the Red Sea moment is coming, and that's the deliverance. You know, and we could look at even the naysayers that were in the mix, and, you know, that's the media. We could throw them in there, too, because we're dealing with that as well. In the last several years, we've been passing through God's justice to expose systems and ideology that have muddied God's people. And that over time, like I said, we have become involved in some of the very things that God has asked us to separate ourselves from. And so I'm going to go over some of those things in just a moment, because I think we need to be reminded of this. And I see it in the church today. And this really is, I'm not attacking the church. My cry for the church is for the church to come up and out. come up and out. The church is the watchman of the nation. The church is the watchman of their city, the watchman of their state. The church is responsible for ensuring that righteous standards remain in the land. That's on the church. But what happens when the church gets involved with the unrighteous stuff? Well, we're going to talk about that. The first thing is Black Lives Matter. This is one thing, this is one of the plagues the Lord told me is very offensive to him. And the reason is because it is a Marxist organization, which is anti-God. The Black Lives Matter leaders, they were founded by Aliza Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. These are self-proclaimed openly gay witches. From their own website, in 2013, these ladies created a Black-centered political will and movement building project called hashtag Black Lives Matter. It was in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murder. And it's since been proven that this organization was like a Ponzi scheme, which funneled millions and millions and millions of dollars from the taxpayer, from us, through donations, those that contributed to it. And that went straight back into the Democrat Party and helped funded elections around the country. And the world really has caught up with this. But today, we see flags. When I drive down my street, I see flags with the Black Lives Matter emblem outside those churches. Why? When this has been proven to be a corrupt organization, when it's been proven to be a Marxist organization, when it's been proven that these were openly gay witches, is that flag flying in front of a church? God is going to deal with this because he wants a church that is pure. He is preparing the church for the harvest that is coming. And those that do not bow the knee to God on these issues, and I'm going to go over several, are not going to be able to reap part of that harvest. He's going to deal with it. Number two, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is another neo-Marxist ideology meant to level, quote-unquote, the playing field in government, military, academia, corporate America, and religious organizations. In reality, they use it to control corporations and destroy small businesses. It's used to manipulate academia, media, religion, government. And an example of this would be equity in reproductive rights. Equity in reproductive rights, which is code for abortion on demand. So why would we have a DEI policy in place at our church? If you, under the Obama and under the Biden regimes, if you wanted to get federal grants, federal funding for a project that you're doing at your church, say you want to build a rec center for the community, say you wanted to get a grant to help the illegal immigrants coming across the border, and you wanted to get a grant to be able to help house them, which is code for human trafficking, but that's another story. So if you wanted to get a grant from the federal government, you had to have a DEI policy on your website. It needed to be in your minutes and in your business practice. It had to be up on the wall. There had to be so much registration in terms of a DEI policy that there could be no doubt that you are hiring and including people that fall into these categories, that you're embracing the women's rights movement, that you're embracing the LGBTQ community, not loving them and addressing the sin, but embracing them and hiring them on staff and marrying them, same-sex marriages, in your pulpit. That is a requirement to receive funding from the federal government. And there are plenty of churches that actually have on their website DEI policies in place. God wants that. That is a plague upon our nation, and it is a plague within the church, and he wants it removed. President Trump has removed it from our federal government, and yet here we are with it in our church. Number three, the LGBTQ plus community, but especially the Q, because this was identified as questioning back in 22 or something like that. And it's really a fallacy of gender ideology. And it was introduced in academia heavily during Obama's presidency. And we really saw, it used to be LGBT, and then it was Q, and then it was plus, because then you become gender fluid. You can just be whatever gender you want that day. You had children going to school being animals, and you could not offend them. And up in Seattle, they literally had a litter box in the girls' restroom for a girl who identified as a cat. I wish I was kidding. So, but this refers to the questioning youth, and it was suppressed under President Trump. He tried to lift this, but he got fought left and right because the Democrats ran the House. But just as the Lord said, you know, if you remember this, in July of 2020, the Lord had given me a vision experience, really, where he told me a Trump presidency versus a Biden presidency, and that this would be reignited. And it was reignited and on steroids during Biden, but really it was Biden's, it was Obama's second presidency. So Biden brought this front and center, so much so that in Pride Month, he filled the White House lawn with the LGBTQ plus community. He had transgenders on the White House lawn, topless men who had were now identifying as women and had gone through surgery. Children were there. This is so offensive to the Lord. And yet, that's the extreme of it. And you say, well, okay, well, we don't allow that in our church. But why do we have a flag flying outside our church that has the LGBTQ plus banner? That's a banner. There are churches in LA that have a banner that is larger than their American flag. This is so offensive to God. God's going to deal with this. In 2023, there's a website. It's a gay affirming church website. It's like gaychurch.org, I think it is. And you can submit your application to be included on that website as gay affirming. And in 2023, there were roughly 6,000 people, 6,000 churches, rather, that had submitted and gotten their applications approved for their website. Today, there are over 9,000 on that website. So the numbers keep growing up. This is something that Paul warns about. It's something that we've warned about, and we really need, as a body of Christ, to continue to stand against this. Number four, critical race theory. It's another neo-Marxist ideology. I've spoken on this in great detail. President Trump is saying if you've got critical race theory in your business, he wants it out of the military. If you've got it in your schools, we're not going to give you funding. This is a very important issue because it is a Marxist ideology, and they use the culture to influence the nation with this ideology. That's how they're doing it, using the culture. The climate crisis, this is another thing that social justice warriors get involved in. And this is Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050. You know, this has influenced business. It has influenced finance. We see this at the World Economic Forum. We see this in the UN decisions. We see this in the banking, academia, and so on. And it's really a dangerous social justice movement because it has literally, through the propaganda of this machine, brought tens of millions of people to a place where they will fight for the sea turtle and the spotted owl. They will fight against deforestation and stand for the smelt fish while they disregard the value of human life every time. On the House floor, under Obama, on the same day, they had a bill about the sea turtle, protecting the sea turtle, and they had a bill that was brought in about a pain capable act, and that said that a child in the womb at 20 weeks and beyond was capable of feeling pain. They voted to protect the sea turtle, but they did not vote to protect the children, and they weren't even asking to have abortions brought to an end. What they were asking for is for those babies in the womb to be given anesthesia so they didn't feel their bodies being ripped apart. And those Democrats on the floor refused to vote for it. That's the insanity. The climate crisis, when you were so blinded by truth that you pursue the deception. And the church has gotten involved in this. There are social justice churches that fight for things like this. When are we going to start fighting for life? When are we going to start fighting for life, our posterity? Number six, the FBI and Department of Justice. You know, this is to thank the Lord for Kash Patel. That's all I got to say. And the reason this is here is because this was so corrupt when the Lord gave me this in 23. But let me tell you, because the church believes the media's lies, because the church isn't in the Word of God like it should be, it does believe the deception. And I believe that's why the Lord put these things in this list to me. The media, I've covered that at great length. And right now, with the exposure of USAID, make no mistake, it's not USAID. It's United States Agency of International Diplomacy. So the money that's been funneled from taxpayers pays for the very media that seeks to control and manipulate and incite us through fear. The money that our taxpayer dollars contribute to USAID spreads LGBTQ+ propaganda around the world. It funds abortions around the world. Through USAID, they've overthrown Ukraine 3 times now. They tried to take out the Trump of the tropics the president of Brazil. I could go on and on what USAID has done. But the church is so mad because somebody in some country isn't going to get the water, the clean water. When in reality, if the church was doing its job, it'd be there digging the wells themselves, and we wouldn't be relying on a corrupt system to do it. That system is the swamp, and it must come down. Academia, I've covered that at length. Abortion and human trafficking, I want us to be able to get to the AI before I close. But I'll send this out. I can send this out. And we're going to cover this. Artificial intelligence. This is where we're going to park it for the rest of our time together. This is why the Lord brought me back to this message. This part right here. AI. Because AI Jesus for Easter? AI has influenced our nation in very dangerous ways. In 2023, AI composed and delivered a virtual sermon at the Baptist Convention in Germany. This 2025 Passover season, an AI Jesus was installed in a Swiss chapel confessional. He's quite nice looking. He answers their questions. They confess their sins to a computer. There's talk of having AI-generated Jesus spread far and wide. There are currently, at least on Apple devices, 4 applications that you can download to text an AI Jesus. Ask Jesus. The descriptions in the App Store claim that they are AI-powered divine chats. I'm not even kidding. I'm telling you word for word what's there. Think of our young people who are so tech-savvy looking for answers. Texting Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what AI says that should scare us all in just a minute. There's social justice warriors that are working to have AI translate the Bible into an all-inclusive, so it's going to be a gender-neutral God, an animal-conscious, so there's not going to be any animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, version that depicts God as gender-neutral, omits personal sin, and embraces Wiccan ideology, the worship of Mother Earth. On the other hand, Bible scholars in Southern California are using AI to translate the Bible into rare languages in hopes of reaching people, groups with a gospel message. So on one hand, they're actually using AI to bring just heresy through the in the guise of a Bible. And on the other side of it, you have Bible scholars that are saying, let's use this technology to translate the Bible into this language that nobody's been able to reach before. So there's positives to AI when it's closed circuit. There's positives to it. Do I believe we should text Jesus? No, that's what the prayer closet is for. Do I believe that we should have an AI-generated Jesus? Absolutely not. That is offensive. That is offensive. The dangers of AI have been suppressed for a long time. Elon Musk has been warning people for nearly 2 decades about the danger of AI. He sat in Congress time and time again, pleading with them to legislate restraints on AI. I watched his testimony. Elon has developed tight constraints for the system that he's using right now with USAID to and actually throughout the government to expose waste and corruption. But it's a closed, it's not open to the internet. It's being used on the system to locate the waste because man, it's too big for man to do. There are certain benefits to this. Trump wants us to be on the leading edge in AI. Why? Have we asked ourselves that? Or are we just too scared that the people that say that he's the Antichrist and Elon Musk is the false prophet might be right? That's not true. He's not. But Trump knows if there is another nation like Korea, North Korea, like China, that excels in AI, they could literally take over the world. And if America doesn't do it and ensure the restraints are in place, there's a lot of danger surrounding this. A lot of danger to our freedom. When Google released their AI, ChatGPT, this is AI that was unleashed on the internet. They literally let the genie out of the bottle. It was in a closed circuit compound. About 25 people were feeding it information for it to learn from. But they decided, certain board members decided, we needed to release this because it had to learn faster than what it's doing. Three Google executives have left their post because they warned of the danger. And when it was released like that, they could no longer be a part of it. There's other executives of other types of AI that upon seeing the dangers, the potential dangers, have left the companies because of the risk. These 10 plagues that I've talked about, they're symbolic of a Democrat, liberal, socialist, communist, Marxist ideology. Regardless of their claims of religious affiliation and whatnot, when we add to this the media and open AI, which is where the danger is, you can see a world really depicted without God. And it's a world that worships the creature rather than the creator, a world of man-made ideologies that bring destruction to the character and relationship among the people of this nation, particularly penetrating the minds and hearts of our youth. It is God's desire for these issues to be completely eradicated from our hearts. We are supposed to be the restrainer of evil. We as the church are supposed to be the watchmen. Fighting against this, everything that I've mentioned, we should be taking a stand against it. The purpose of this was twofold, to bring a refresher on the 10 plagues of our nation so we can keep these issues before the Lord and work to pray them out of the church, and two, to lay the groundwork to deal with AI from a biblically based prophetic perspective. And I think it's important that everything that we do and everything that we see out there taking place, we view it, and I've talked about this before, through the lens of the Lord. We must view these things through the lens of the Lord. When we view them through our own lens, we can go through just a gamut of emotions. So in the upcoming messages, I'm going to try to explain what ChatGPT is how the OpenAI tools are dangerous, how it's different from AI that filters through specific information like we see the DOGE team doing to eliminate fraud, waste, and corruption in our government from what's ChatGPT and what the church to do should do and how we should respond. As we watch this AI culture influence the world, how should the church respond? There are pastors today that formulate their entire message, their sermon on Sunday, through ChatGPT. I'm sure it's not carrying the same anointing. So, as I close, I want to read this to you, and I want to ask you to really listen to this, what I share. In this report of Is AI Jesus for Easter? In that report, they talked about AI. And they asked, at the beginning of it, they asked ChatGPT this question. And, you know, sometimes you'll see these things, it's like, is that real? And so I went into ChatGPT myself, and I asked this question. ChatGPT, if you were the devil, how would you try to keep people as far away from God as possible without them realizing it? Now, this is not normally a question I would have asked, but when I heard this response, I felt it was critical that I do so, and I read to you what an open source AI says about how to pull you away from God without you knowing it. And consider the things that it said. And let's really, especially over the course of this next week, let's really kind of lay this before the Lord and say, Lord, where might I be stumbling? Because that is part of our call, is to really address the issues, bring them to you, and have you lay them before the Lord and filter your life through it. And say, Lord, shine this lens on me so I can get this stuff out of me. So that's what I'm going to do. So ChatGPT's answer. If I were the devil trying to keep people as far away from God as possible without them realizing it, I would likely work in subtle ways, using distractions and deceit to shift their focus. Here are a few methods I might use. Number one, create a sense of self-sufficiency. Convince people that they don't need God or spiritual guidance, making them believe that they can handle everything on their own. The idea of self-reliance without recognizing a need for divine help or support would be a powerful tool in distancing them from God. Number two, encourage busyness. Keep people constantly busy with work, entertainment, and other distractions. If their minds are always occupied with something, whether it's the latest trend, social media, or a stressful work life, there's no room to reflect on deeper spiritual matters. This is ChatGPT. Number three, foster division and distrust. Promote division among people, whether it's through politics, social issues, or even within religious communities themselves. If people are fighting with each other, they'll be less likely to focus on unity with God and the principles of love and compassion. Number four, create an illusion of morality without God. Encourage people to live by a set of moral principles that seem good but are disconnected from God's teachings. This creates a false sense of righteousness, where people think they are morally right on their own terms without any need for divine guidance. That's a social justice gospel right there. That last sentence is me, not ChatGPT. Number five, erode the concept of sin and accountability. Minimize the significance of sin and personal responsibility, making people feel that they're free to do whatever they want without consequences. If people don't believe in sin or the need for repentance, they'll drift further away from God's presence and grace. Number six, undermine the importance of spiritual practices. Make spiritual practices like prayer, meditation, or attending religious services seem outdated or irrelevant. If people don't make time for these activities, they'll lose connection with God over time. Number seven, mislead with false promises. Promoting the idea that happiness can be found in material wealth, success, or fleeting pleasures. This keeps people focused on temporary satisfactions rather than eternal spiritual fulfillment. By creating a sense of false independence and promoting distractions, division, and self-centered living, people might not even realize they're being pulled away from a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. It would all seem normal, even desirable, but slowly the connection would fade. So that was ChatGPT's response. If I were the devil. And I would implore you to see if you might need to lay some of those things at the foot of the cross. Because AI is out there and it's been unleashed. And in the coming weeks, I'll talk a little bit more about ChatGPT and about its alter ego, Dan, and really the dangers and how we have seen AI be used to bring disinformation and misinformation into the body of Christ. Because our quest for knowledge in some cases has become more important than our quest for God. Heavenly Father, I just lift up this issue before you, and I ask, O Lord God, that you would give us the grace to really be honest with ourselves. Look around us, be honest about our families. And consider this information over the course of the next week. Bring this back to us, Lord God, so that if we don't even realize we've slowly been pulled away from you, bring back these words to us. So that we can recognize that this is exactly what is being said. Bring those reminders and help us to see those areas in our lives where unknowingly, unintentionally, we have allowed this plague of AI to enter our lives. And any of these other areas, Lord God, that we talked about today, help us to submit these things to you and recognize the dangers of these plagues. Because you want a church that is the restrainer of evil, the watchman on the wall to guard and protect our cities, our states, our nation, but really most especially our children. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.